continuing with Vision Destiny 2020, this is session 13, reviewing what God said in 2019, my experiences and encounters in 2019, and what significance that has for 2020 and beyond. Some of the major themes, the restoration of all things, the oracles of the Father's heart, which are very connected, love's light, that our sons, we arise, shine, and have a frequency of love's light that begins to engage the world around us. Happy eschatology, that we're looking forward to a restoration rather than destruction. The Joshua generation arising in sonship, taking their places within heaven to outwork that on the earth in rest. Rest is a key principle for all of us to begin to come into the fullness of mature sonship. So, son, I told you a shift is coming for 2020. This is for you and for the Joshua generation. I will open new doors of opportunity to take the restoration of all things message of true hope further. That is further into this dimension, but also further into other dimensions. Those doors are dimensional doors, not just doors of opportunity in the physical realm to take this message. You are not to hold back, but boldly and courageously in love challenge the religious mindsets that restrict and limit my children becoming mature sons. Son, you carry the oracles of my heart, so express the deep love that I have for all things with the same passion, burning desire, overwhelming love, and live life to the full with my intense joy and deep compassion. We, as sons of God, are to reflect the Father's heart. His heart is passionate for the restoration of all that he has created. Legislate with the oracles as your motivation. For the Joshua generation, there are choices: possess the land or settle for the security of the old. And I think this is always a challenge, even for those in the physical Joshua generation who went into the land, 2.5 tribes went back and settled on the other side of the Jordan. There are those who've tasted and seen that it's good, but it's too much of a cost to leave the old and the security of the old for them. The intensity of the challenge will increase as the opposition tries to resist from within and without. Son, I am that I am will release greater grace to those who will establish embassies of heaven on the earth. It isn't enough just to do heavenly things without seeing an expression of heaven on the earth so the earth can align with heaven. That is our mandate, to fill the earth. And if we don't start doing it, then it will pass to another generation. We need to embrace the reality of what we're called to do, which is to establish heaven on earth, to establish colonies of heaven on earth, to expand those colonies, to fill the earth so the kingdom of God fills the earth, the glory of God covers the earth. With the intensity of the opposition comes greater grace to overcome with love, joy, and peace. Always come in the opposite spirit that's coming against you. The blue light call, which was a light that was released to call people to sonship and connect all over the world, to connect and gather, will resonate with greater grace and the empowerment to overcome with love in rest. For those who respond to begin to gather, there will be equipping and releasing with new mantles, weapons, and scrolls. God is going to release grace to equip if we will respond to step out in faith and trust him to establish heaven on earth. Son, the oracles of my heart for restoration carry the precepts, statutes, and laws that will release the ordinances of greater grace. Now, this is aligned with the 12 chancellor's houses. The first four houses are precepts, statutes, laws, and ordinances, and they work together for a window for a manifestation of God's heart into any situation that we align. Son, do not look for the signs of the past, but look for the signs and sounds of the new things that I am is about to do. The old methods will not accomplish what is needed for the next season of grace. There will be new expressions of grace for those who will leave the old ways behind. The principle of latter glory is true, but the former glory never wants to end. And I think this is another principle which is always in place. There cannot be new grace until the old grace has ended, and it will fight to remain. There will be death knells amongst the birth pangs. the end of the old, the death knell, is a letting go of those things we've invested in, maybe invested our lives in, but now there's birth pangs are something new. It's not easy, but there is grace. The grace that we had in the previous season is coming to an end, and new grace, greater grace, grace upon grace, manifold grace is going to be released if we're willing to let go. The signs of the end of the old will be the signs of the greater grace of the new. It's always confusing and messy. When you have this transition period, it often gets confusing for messy for people because they're in this mixture of what do I stop doing and how do I start doing something new. All of these things are confusing, but they can be navigated. We really need to see this latter glory. We need to see more released. There cannot be new grace until that old grace is gone. And I want to encourage you to embrace the new. Don't be caught up in the old. Don't let the old hinder you and keep you fixed and rigid and fossilized. Don't get caught up in the end of the old focus on establishing the new and live loved at all times. You can truly live love living and by choice in the face of opposition live loving. We must operate in love, joy and peace. This is the key in all of this, is operating in love, joy and peace. The political maelstroms that are going on in many places around the world are just a picture of that which are going on to take going to take place spiritually in the revolution of restoration that is coming. There's a lot of political unrest around the world. Some of that is those who are objecting to their present circumstances, therefore they're protesting. And I think that is something that's in them, realizing that there must be more than this, and therefore they're not satisfied. Unfortunately, the flesh gets in the way and then it becomes violent rather than not. But I think it's a sign that people are dissatisfied. There is dissatisfaction in the political system, but also I think that is going to be reflected in what takes place within the religious world for people to realize there is more than this and begin to pursue coming out from under the coverings of men into the promised land of the new. There are no answers and solutions to be found using the political and religious spirit, but there will be greater grace using the opposite spirit. And I think this is a key for us. Come in love. If there's opposition against you, if there are things being said, do not retaliate in the same spirit. Those resisting the new will expose themselves using the religious and political spirit to those discerning enough to see through the charisma, to see the absence of the fruit of love within character. It's character that we need to see, love which needs to be seen. Gifts are given, but love is developed, fruit is developed, and that takes relationship. Don't be overawed or awed by the knowledge that some people have. Look at the fruit of the character that goes with that knowledge. The fruit of loving kindness is the true hallmark of the new, expressed as my oracles motivating the restoration of all things. Limited conditional love is expressed as the uniformity of agreement, but true unconditional love is revealed in the unity of relationship. Those who want you to agree to certain beliefs, doctrines, or theology to be accepted are not giving you unconditional love and do not reflect the love of God. And it becomes cult-like when you're controlled to have to believe what others are telling you to believe. You're powerful enough and as sons have access to God to ask God for yourself. Do not be swayed by other people's opinions. Get everything from God yourself so it's your personal revelation. And when you have that testimony of that personal revelation, it won't be shaken by what other people say. No matter how they oppose you or challenge you or try to manipulate you, you will know the truth and the truth will have brought you freedom. Unconditional loving relationship is what the essence of who I am is, and that precept expressed through the oracles will inevitably lead both to deconstruction and restoration. It is going to challenge what we believe, but it's going to restore us to the heart and mind of God. The death knell of the deconstruction of the old is the sound of the birth pangs of the new. Son, do not be afraid to embrace the deconstruction of the old so the new can be revealed. Include the truth about transition from old to new in government and structures and their difficulties with honesty. It's not easy to transition out of an old structure, an old mindset into a new. We tried to do it by changing the structures, but we ran into the issues of mindsets weren't changed and the structures don't work without new mindsets. So a new relational perspective that gives opportunity for people to embrace a new way of thinking, then structures come out of the way, new way of thinking rather than being imposed. Those transitioning find it very difficult to let go of the old mindsets, systems, positions of power and structures that are comfortable because of the identity they give. The mountains that have been built in the wilderness have become empires in which people find it very difficult to let go of the positions where they are on the top of the hierarchy. Becoming an amateur in the new is so difficult for those who've been professionals in the old. This is why transition is so difficult, as new foundations cannot be laid over the old, but have to be relationally established with new footings that are truly new, not just rehashing the old. You can't just change the names and expect things to be different. The whole old hierarchical mediatorial covering structures cannot coexist with new relational foundations. It has to be an empowerment for people to hear God themselves, not telling people what God is saying. Son, Isaiah 61 DNA is the foundation, so return to the simplicity of that truth and encourage participation. And this is for us here, but what DNA do you carry? What DNA is in your own life? What DNA in any corporate blueprint that you have associated with? It must have a relational foundation, that DNA runs through the foundational relationships, that all relationships will then carry that as God, Jesus, as Father, produces the living stones that will form together in any blueprint. He builds the ecclesia with living stones. We carry a blueprint that is the DNA that establishes that on earth as it is in heaven. Expanding the quality is key, not focusing on the quantity. Release the healing, restoring, and equipping ministry. Son, start with those you can influence the most, and this will expand as others join the center to help facilitate. If you don't gather, you cannot be an ecclesia and you will have no local government. So the very nature of an ecclesia is that it gathers people together for a particular purpose, and that purpose is not going to be defined by religious structures, but by what God is asking you or showing you or revealing for you to do every time you gather. But if you don't gather, you can't actually be an ecclesia. There's got to be a gathering in some way. Even if it's a virtual gathering, there has to be relationship. Otherwise, it cannot be a full expression that Jesus is going to build. He is establishing that on the basis of relationship, living stones coming together on a foundation. Gather together regularly for food, fellowship, and testimony in homes, and include the move on houses in those gatherings. Now, God spoke to me about this, and we have people who are in therapy community, and when they graduate or just prior to graduation, they move into move-on houses, and we help support them in the community. At that point, often they feel isolated from the family that they've discovered within the therapy community, and then they struggle a little bit. So we're looking at how we gather, what we do when we gather, and God just said this. Eat together, fellowship together, and testimony, and you can do that in homes, and then people will gather from the move-on houses. Now, when we had a meeting recently to just discuss this, and we called it Moving Forward Together, we made it open, but we didn't know who was going to come. Actually, quite a number of people from our community move-on houses came, and they shared amazing testimonies of how our gathering together and the different way we gather together and the way we gather together relationally, the way we are inclusive in giving opportunity of sharing and talking and feeling part and belonging had made such a difference in their lives. So God spoke to me about this, and then within a matter of days, actually, I saw it fulfilled. And now, subsequently, we have gathered again with people who now we can help belong together in family, because this is what we are, family. Belonging to family is the key to growth, so provide a family atmosphere for love, joy, and peace to flourish. Son, issue the call, keep the sound resonating for the mandate for the Joshua generation to be fulfilled locally as well as globally. Fellowship is an opportunity to communicate and share and therefore support and encourage each other. We must relate. Don't get caught up in doing and forget to be. This is the crucial time. The death knell of the old must become the birth pangs of the new. And literally, at this time, our old leadership finally gave up and said, we can't do this anymore in this way. We need to let go of it. Now, we're now in a place where God can release the new into what we're doing, relationally, not just structurally. Coming to the end of do-it-yourself understanding will enable the tree of life revelation to be unveiled. On earth, as it is in heaven, begins with earthly relationship, but that context must be seen through heaven's lens. The heavenly blueprint can only be established on earth by legislating for the preparation in heaven. Being seated in heaven to release heaven's authority in the earth is the only way a new order ecclesia will rise from the ashes of the old. We must establish it in heaven, call it forth in heaven, decree and declare it in heaven, get a mandate and a blueprint from heaven, then that can be landed and outworked in the earth, and it must not be established in the same way that the old was operating. It's got to be new. New mindsets will enable new practices on new foundations. You cannot change the mindset by changing the practice. And we learned that to our cost in one sense, but we've learned and now we understand and now we can help others to understand the same thing. The only way to change a mindset is through encounter. So facilitate encounters and I will transform the beliefs to enable the ecclesia to rise. Abundant life flows through relationship, not meetings. But true relational gatherings will facilitate an increase in the flow of the tree of life and fruitfulness. The early church is only an example, but it can be transposed into today's culture. Acts 2:42. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking bread, and to prayer. Acts 2:46. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. Now, this was in the transition period between old and new. There was still an old temple, and there was still the old system in place, and that was the challenge to break free from that and embrace the whole of creation rather than just one people in one city, in one nation, if you like. So this was a challenge, and therefore they started to do things in a relational way. Now, of course, they didn't have instruction other than what Jesus had taught them, and in their discipleship with Jesus, they began to meet in the same way, fellowshipping together, eating together, breaking bread, and engaging in prayer. Now, don't think of prayer as, you know, God, will you please do this? Think of prayer as encounters in which we're talking and communicating with God. So what are the things we can learn from those two passages? First one, this was continually. This was something that was consistent, that carried on. It wasn't sporadic. It was continual. This was something which was a lifestyle, not just something that was done once a week. Devoting. There was an attitude that said, I'm committed to this. I am putting my whole desire into this. To a new covenant teaching. The apostles' teaching was new covenant teaching, which Jesus gave them, particularly through the message that John carried about the resurrection and the life and the way, the truth and the life, that he is in him and that we're in them. I mean, this whole thing of relationship was key to this new covenant. Fellowship, sharing relationship and testimony together, supporting and encouraging each other. Fellowship. Two fellows in the same ship, something that you share in common, that you have one heart, one mind and purpose towards. Breaking bread, taking on communion, the life of God, the body and blood of Jesus, so we do not need to die, but we can actually continue to live until we fulfilled everything God has called us to do within our destiny. And there is power in that resonant frequency within the life of God contained within the body and blood that we take as symbols and emblems of the reality of God's life resonating within us, bringing life in its abundance and fullness. Prayer encounters, encountering God in reality, not just praying to a brass ceiling or hoping that your prayers will eventually ascend to heaven. Going into heaven and engaging to find out the heart of God, the mind of God, and to begin to outwork that in reality, both for our individual lives and corporately. Then the next passage, they did it daily. Again, consistent lifestyle. One mind, unity of heart and purpose. There was something in which they had come together and they saw this as their mission, their destiny, to establish this new covenant ecclesias through the earth. Now, initially, they only saw it as the Jewish people. And of course, God had to break in with a vision with an angel to show them that, no, this was to be taken out to beyond Jerusalem, some Judea, Samaria, but to the ends of the earth. And every man, woman, child in creation is to be reached with this good news message. House to house, in relationship, personal, opening our lives up to each other and being able to embrace the fellowship and relationship that that brings and the challenges that that brings, of course. Eating together in the same way, breaking bread while you're eating. Eating together, as Jesus said with his disciples, eating together is a really key thing to sharing life together. That's where we can share our stories. That's where we can share our sorrows. We can share the things that we can support each other and encourage each other in. And there was joy in their midst. This was a joyful gathering, not a duty or an obligation. They desired and they made sure, even under persecution, they still did it. Heart-to-heart relationship. This is key. If we're going to establish heaven on earth as ecclesia, as living stones, there must be heart-to-heart relationship both with God as Father and with each other as sons in relationship with each other. So there are things there we can learn. And for this to take place and for everything to take place, there is a sense where we have to surrender to it. We cannot keep doing things our own way. We have to surrender. So, Father, and this is my response, I present myself to you upon the altar as a living sacrifice. And I do that daily. My whole attitude of life is one of surrender. I only want to do what I see the Father doing. I don't want to do things in my own strength, in my own understanding, because I will be weary, become heavy laden, and I will leave rest. I want to stay in rest. Here am I, send me. As ambassador for the Joshua generation to do your will, Father. I embrace my destiny as a son of God to answer creation's groaning and by being restored to mature sonship be revealed on earth as I am in heaven. Now, this is, I believe, our sonship call and we need to respond to it positively and make ourselves available to begin to engage creation. The 2020 shift. What is my role within it, Father? Now, I had insight into this, but I want more. I wanted to know more. I wanted to prepare. Son, remember the prophetic timetable of overlapping seasons. And I taught the prophetic timetable through the revelation I had in 2010-11. And now, you know, I see it the same way, but some of the things that I understood about it, now I have a different frame for it, but it's still applying. God does things in seasons that are overlapping to ensure that people do not miss out. He continues that season, even though some people have embraced the next season or even the next season, the first season still functioning. Continue to release the call to sonship to engage my heart. Continue to release the call for transformation to remove the stumbling blocks of religion and old covenant thinking. Now, the first stage of this prophetic timetable was the call to sonship, Father, heart, sonship. And that is still going on. There are so many people within the religious institutions who do not know who they are and do not know who God is because of lack of intimacy and relationship. God is wooing and calling his people. And he'll do it in so many different ways. Then the second stage is the removing of stumbling blocks. And I believe that it relates a lot today in old covenant thinking, making sure we're not operating under an old covenant mindset. in an old covenant way with old covenant hierarchical structures and systems. Continue to release my judgment to end the old systems of religious government. Now, judgment is not a bad thing. It's just verdicts that says this is finished. There is no life in this any longer, and we can release those judgments to call people to come into the new, leaving the death of the old and embracing the life of the new. Continue to call for the harvest of harvesters to come out of the wilderness into the promised land beyond the veil, calling the Joshua generation to be ready to mentor the next generation, so we need that billionfold harvest of harvesters who are going to then be equipped to go out and reach the world with this good news to demonstrate and extend the kingdom beyond its present boundaries within the constructs of church as we know it, to release the embassies of heaven to expand and colonize the earth with the kingdom of heaven. Continue for the shaking of the systems of the DIY tree, both within and without. Continue to call for deconstruction and expansion of consciousness. So I believe that there are shakings. It's not a biblical shaking. According to Hebrews 12, yet once more will I shake all things. He's already done that in the end of the old and the beginning of the new in AD 70. But God is the same yesterday, for day forever. So he continues shaking our lives to see what is based on the kingdom and what is man-made, because he wants the deconstruction of the old so that we can embrace the new consciousness of the new and have the ability to begin to create as sons. Continue to call for the rising and shining of the Joshua generation within the rising of the mountain of the house of the Lord. We need to take our places and be raised up in authority to begin to administrate the kingdom into this earth, that people will come to the brightness of our rising and to the position that we're in authority to bless them and empower them into a relationship with God themselves as sons. Continue to call for new order ecclesia and embassies of heaven to be established on earth according to heavenly blueprints. So this is what God wanted me to focus on in this next season. Continue to administrate the seasons for the aligning of the circle of the deep and the 12 chancellors' houses. That's aligning the cycles and circles, the wheels within the wheels of heaven, to see things begin to outwork on the earth. Son, I am about to release the next season of greater grace to those of my children who have embraced the grace expressed within the restoration of all things revelation. This is so key. God is calling people to be involved in restoration, and there is grace that he has released to embrace that, however difficult it may be in the deconstruction process, but there's greater grace coming so that that can then start to be fulfilled in greater momentum. Son, for those who are resisting the grace message of restoration, the season of deconstruction will continue, and there is still grace for that process. The greater grace that will lead to grace upon grace will be missed by those who are becoming rigid within the cycle of judgment that is coming upon them. As they judge the old system, so they are now reaping what they sowed and are seeing the same systems under new names. They're setting up the same systems under new names. See, when you judge something, that judgment can come upon you if the judgment that you made was not in love to life. Just judging the old to death and not giving opportunity for life has resulted in the same people who were criticizing and making those judgments against the old apostolic order and the fivefold ministry order. They're now setting up the same structures under different names on earth, hierarchical structures of apostolic networks and coverings, drawing money into the central hub. All of that stuff is the same basic structure that was judged in 2011, 2012, and now only 6-7 years later, it is still now manifesting in the new, and it's becoming denominational and fixed on belief systems rather than relationship. This judgment is not to death, but to life. If they will but acknowledge their darkness and embrace the light of grace is still shining. Those forerunners are taking people back into the wilderness of the old covenant Jewish systems of law-based living in the illusion of freedom, but they are in fact in the delusion of the old dressed up as new. Be very careful that you're not drawn back into an old covenant Jewish system. They are living in the delusion of thinking they are living beyond the veil of Jordan, but in fact they've now settled into the deception of wilderness living, just like the 2.5 tribes of old. Son, the one new man in Christ's message of new covenant, realized eschatology, must be revealed along with the restoration of all things to the mystic community to free them from this bondage to the old covenant festivals, dates, customs, and language of Jewish mysticism. The mystic community must not settle for the old covenant, old Jerusalem, old physical symbols, traditions, and customs of the shadows and types when the new covenant, new Jerusalem reality of the one new man in Christ is here and now, present reality, not a veiled future hope. Son, all the promises and all the covenants that I, as Father, have made to my children are all fulfilled and realized in my Son and are present realities to be embraced and enjoyed. Son, the shift to have and have greater grace that is coming will only be fully experienced by those who've embraced the transformation and deconstruction of the last season of justice. Don't resist the change and transformation that we're going through. Justice is the outworking of the judgment that was released from the Council of 70 in 2014 that began with the new beginning and the new generation 888, the 8th of August 2015, new beginnings, triple governmental new beginnings. That marked the beginning of the end of the old order government and the unveiling of the restoration of all things agenda for the Joshua generation. Those forerunners who have begun to experience deeper love and the oracles of my heart are being motivated by restoration, and they will be blessed and empowered by greater grace during this next season. I am continuing to reveal the deception that has its roots in the fruit of the poisonous tree that is brethrenism, but there is a great resistance, but I will not stop until the truth is revealed. Now, I was part of the Brethren movement in my teenage years, and I was there for quite a while, and I understood a lot of the teaching, and I believed all of the teaching because that was what I was brought up in. And then God started to challenge me to go deeper, and when I got baptized in the Spirit, He challenged me to be open to Him to totally change my whole thinking around eschatology that was birthed from that Brethrenist movement back in the 1820s to 30s. And I had a lot of books that gave me the history of where the teaching came for those teachings, which were teaching of the rapture, teaching of the millennium to come in a 1,000-year reign in the future, the teaching of dispensationalism, that God works in dispensational, cessationalism, that the gifts of the Spirit have ended with the early church, you know, and in the twofold nature of an earthly people and a heavenly people that separated Israel from the church. And all of this, all of those teachings are the fruit of the poisonous tree. So you can't embrace one of those teachings and not be affected by the others. The poisonous tree is a legal term that says if you have a search, which is illegal, anything that's found from the basis of that search is not allowed in evidence. So the poisonous tree of Brethrenism has created a number of situations which are actually all coming from that same fruit. And that root is in deception because the Brethren movement, although called out from amongst the institutional church to begin to gather, which was awesome, and the priesthood of all believers, which was accepted, which was great revelation, did not then continue to pursue that when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them. Eventually, through various issues of falling out with each other, they rejected the gifts of the Holy Spirit and then came up with this teaching of cessationalism, dispensationalism, and then that has produced rapture and millennialism and, you know, a earthly and heavenly people rather than one new man in Christ. And that has hijacked the church. That has become the orthodox position within much of the Western church. And that has spread within all of the churches around the world. Now you could say, well, well, it's spread because it's true, but actually we know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And the reality that puts off restoration to an event in the future rather than a process that we're involved in, for me, is removing our responsibility and inheritance as sons. So God started to speak to me about this a lot and reminded me what I went through in the mid-80s when I got baptized in the Spirit, where for 3 years, he, in relationship, totally deconstructed my whole belief system around eschatology. I didn't talk to anybody else. I didn't read anyone else's books. I allowed him to totally deconstruct my belief systems, which were based in futurism, premillennium, eschatology, and he totally deconstructed it and renewed it. Then afterwards, I found that there were others who also had similar beliefs. So I wasn't on my own, but I didn't get that from flesh and blood. I allowed him, it took 3 years of deconstruction for him to challenge me over the full revelation of what the kingdom of God is, rather, which is a present reality through us into the earth, rather than a future thing that's only going to happen at a point in history when Jesus comes back and wraps it all up and destroys the world and then gives us a new one. And I understood from that whole process that actually this is the new. We are in the new covenant, and it is a covenant that is going to end in fulfillment. Restoration is the emphasis of greater grace, firstly restoring truth about all things and its full meaning. Then will come the practical demonstration of the restoration of those presently within the fire of my consuming love before the truth of dimensional restoration and angelic restoration becomes fully revealed. So, people can be restored after they die, because death is not the end of choice for them to accept Jesus as Lord when they're in the consuming fire of purification and refining, which produces anguish of the soul, but it is the love of God that is giving them the opportunity of embracing, and we have the opportunity of going there and preaching to those that we have permission to do so for. Then there's dimensional restoration, which are the other dimensional beings that exist, which are now becoming aware of our sonship and the frequency of hope which we're radiating, and angelic restoration of the fallen angels. All of this is a process that has been going on, and we're going to see greater grace release to begin to be involved in this process. My children must begin to take responsibility for the restoration of their family lines by engaging with the transforming fire of my love themselves to prepare them for the taking of the good news of redemption, reconciliation, and restoration into the fire. Don't be afraid of embracing the fire yourself and allowing what is burning in you to enable you to actually take that message to those who are within the consuming fire of God's love. Once this season of grace is in full flow, the greater grace necessary to restore the angelic realm will be released so that creation can begin to be restored from its bondage to corruption. Once this greater grace is in full flow, we can see grace upon grace necessary for the restoration of other dimensional beings that will be released. Son, you've been a willing to be a forerunner for grace, greater grace, and grace upon grace, and have experienced the opposition that this causes. So do not become weary of doing good. Sometimes it's hard when you're facing opposition all the time, but actually stay in rest. Know that you're loved by God, so does it really matter if people oppose you? Stay in that place of rest and don't become weary by trying to fight that in your own strength. Love experienced is that love that can be released. Restoration is the ministry of love that incorporates redemption, reconciliation, restoration without limitations, barriers, and boundaries. Son, no one escapes love, as everything and everyone can only exist within me, and I am love. Love can be resisted, but the illusion of separation and exclusion perpetuated by religion cannot overcome love. Son, nothing can overcome me, as love is one, love wins, and love will win. I am love, and I cannot be resisted forever, as you do not give up or fail, no more than I am can cease to be I am. God does not give up or fail. He is consistently love. He's always been love. He always will be love. And that love wins. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Love conquers all because love has already overcome the greatest enemy, that is death, which has no lasting sting. Love won before the foundation of creation, and love won in time and space, and love is the continual, eternal, now constant. Who I am is the battle that is raging. Those opposing the restoration of all things message are actually trying to diminish I am to the DIY version, which is but a figment of men's religious imagination without realizing it. See, the reality of who God is where this battle lies. People who are saying, well, yes, God is love. Ah, yes, but he's justice and he's judgment as well. Don't realize that judgment and justice are the same expression of love. They think God is two-faced because that is the old covenant version that they've embraced, which is our version. We created that God in our image because we needed to appease an angry God because we walked away from him. The power of my love is limitless as I am, is by definition omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. So is love. So love is omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. Love is all-powerful, all-knowing, and everywhere. That is why separation is a delusion and deception, and turning the consuming fire of my love into a place of punishment instead of refining restoration is absurd. Son, take this message beyond and do not stop, and my grace, greater grace, and grace upon grace will bless you abundantly. Son, enter rest and focus, living in love, joy, and peace. Develop this state in every circumstance and situation by practicing how to live loved, no matter what appears to be going on around you. And sometimes there is storms around us. Live in the eye of the storm. Practice how to live loving and look for things to be thankful for. Seek first kingdom opportunities to be fruitful and increase by subduing, ruling over the circumstances in every situation by administering peace from peace. You cannot bring peace if you're not in peace. Be in peace with God, and then you can bring peace into other relationships. We are peacemakers. Live with a positive can-do attitude and expectancy that sees the potential in every circumstance and situation. Don't be negative. Practice living loving by choosing to forgive and release in every situation and circumstance, and love will win and overcome. Son, learn to choose the reality that best aligns with my heart in every situation and circumstance, and let nothing else be a possibility to distract you from rest. So often we're double-minded, triple-minded, quadruple-minded because we've just tossed around because we don't have a solid foundation in love. Let's stay in that place of rest and choose nothing else but that aligns with the heart of God. Son, do not major on the minor things of life that have no eternal consequence. Always be looking from the perspective that is above. Think of those things that are above. Son, do not let circumstances deflect you from living in rest. Some things that can affect you emotionally have no eternal heavenly importance. Sometimes we get caught up in things that are physical things in this realm that really have no eternal value and importance. And we major on them because they are emotionally impacting. But even death itself has no sting. So he carries our sorrows and griefs. It's like, don't allow things on earth to knock you off course. Son, rest is living from heaven on the earth and manifesting heaven on the earth in every situation and circumstance. Son, my grace is sufficient to empower and equip you. Ask at all times and everywhere, but it is only available to you when you're at rest. That is so important, to stay in rest, and then all the resources of heaven are available. Son, look at everything from the eternal now and heavenly governmental positions that you are seated in, and you will find that most things can be aligned on earth as it is in heaven by simply seeing the correct reality. And that is important. What we see from that perspective can be released into this perspective because we are observing it, and that observation creates the reality. Where are you looking? Are you looking above, or are you looking in the midst of the situation? If you're looking in the midst of the situation, you will you will effectively bring a reality that's associated with by what you're looking at. Son, most of the things in life which distract people are inconsequential when viewed from my perspective. Do not be fearful or let your heart be troubled by worrying. Choose to trust me by seeking first my kingdom. This is why Jesus said, don't worry. Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. Be happy. Trust in me. Son, rest is not the absence of storms, troubles, and trials, but trusting me in them and overcoming the fear through perfect love. Son, love is your shield and helmet of defense and your sword of offense. As perfect love casts out all fear, then you no need to be anxious or worry. There is no need for us to be anxious or worried when we are living behind that shield of love, living in the love bubble, living in that blissful state of knowing that we're loved unconditionally, knowing that God has the best for us. He has good for us. Son, never live in the absence of something as in a vacuum, but be filled with love, joy, and peace, and there will be no room for anything else. Son, I am always more than enough, abundant and overflowing. Son, I will open doors to take the message of restoration within and beyond the mystic stream. I am is working with all, within all the man-made streams to reveal myself as Father, that all men would know my Father heart and enter into sonship. All men are on that journey, even though most do not know it. But I am faithful. I am is faithful and true, and my love can never fail and will never give up on my children. Those of my children who have connected with the oracles of my heart know how totally committed I am to restoring all, and I mean all, back to the place of face-to-face innocence. All were created for a relationship in all the dimensions, and I will see all restored to that relationship. I never change. I am the same, and my desire and intention has never changed and can never change as I am. I am faithful and true. I am trustworthy and dependable. Son, you know you can always rely on me and rely on the fact that my love will never fail or ever give up. Again, really, really important to embrace that and experience it. It cannot be theoretical. Love cannot be a theoretical concept. It must be something that we experience. When we are loved, then we can love. I am love through and through, and we can never be anything other than love. Unconditional love is the very essence of I am, and our nature, character, precepts, statutes, and laws are completely motivated by love. Son, you are to be as I am. Let the oracles of my heart be love, motivation for all that you are destined to be and do. Love is the consistent constant within the whole of the created order that makes restoration not just possible, but inevitable. Son, I am not coming. I am is present within all my children. Do not be deceived by any agenda, doctrine, teaching, or theology that puts what is present into the future. So don't think of God as coming. Think of God as present. That changes everything. The word parousia in Greek, which has been translated coming and related to the coming of Jesus, actually means the presence of the King who's already come. And he's already come and he's already present in us here and now, not in a future event. I came physically and I came spiritually and I am present in all, but I am visible mostly in those who know me and know my love by personal experience as the light that is rising and shining to reveal the true nature of who I am. Son, in reality, there is no second coming or first coming for that matter, as I am has always been present in manifold ways, even before the beginning, as you know it. I am therefore, I am present, and never coming, and all exists within me. Now, really embrace this. It's like he's always here, and we all exist in him, and he exists in us. So there is this constant presence, not a future event. All live, move, and have their being within I am, and I am omnipresent and therefore present within all things. Embrace that reality. I am visibly present as the light within my people who have hidden that light under the coverings of religious DIY systems. Have I not called my people to arise and shine, to be on display so that I am on display as my body on earth as I am in heaven? We are the light of the world. I am light and love, and love's light is to shine brightly through my transfigured children like a light on a lampstand, a city on a hill displaying its glory. I am here now in my children, not coming again in a future event, which is a figment of religious imagination. I am that I am, and I am is not distant and detached, but present and imminent, as Emmanuel, with you and in you. I call my sons to arise and shine with love's light and take their places in the heavenly realms to be the convergence within time and space. What has been misrepresented as my second coming is in fact my already presence on earth in my people, those who know me, so they can be the light to reveal that I am within all who do not yet know me. And that is important to see. That's our mission. That was Paul's mission. Sorry, to reveal the light in the Gentiles. Just as I was manifested as light that shone brightly around Saul to transforming into Paul, I am present to be the light that radiates from my body on earth as they are in heaven. Son, my people are my presence and are not to be looking for my coming and therefore futurize what should be a present reality. Son, there has been so much deception perpetuated by the futurist agenda that has hidden the light and obscured my presence, but I am rising and shining in my children as they discover the freedom of their glory as my sons. Son, the restoration of all things must become the focus of your ministry in the shift that's coming to bring the streams together into a unified whole. Finish the Engaging God program by unifying restoration with eschatology from a mystic perspective. Go into the detail and deconstruct the poisonous fruit of the brethren tree. When my people are free from the deception of futurism and Zionism, they will be more able to embrace the full implications of restoration. To embrace fully mature sonship, a complete understanding of the full scope of restoration of creation itself is vital. A limited understanding that restricts restoration to Israel and the land and limits the ecclesia to a heavenly future must be exposed and deconstructed as the lie and deception it is. Son, this will bring a challenge from those entrenched in the old, and you will have to face many accusations on a scale you've not previously experienced, but I do not want you to hold back. Now, in the 80s, when God challenged my understanding of eschatology, He totally deconstructed my understanding of this two-part earthly people Israel and heavenly people church and brought it back into one new man in Christ present. All the middle wall of partition has been brought down. There is no separation. There is no Jew nor Greek, bond or free, male or female. There is just all one in Christ. We are one in Christ. There is no separation. And yet this teaching has deflected everything about restoration to be focused on the earth and an earthly people rather than the fullness of creation. Do not be intimidated, but be wise in how you respond and only enter the debates that I specifically mandate you to engage. Because I know this will create problems. I know people have very strong emotional things over Israel because it's been such a doctrine that's been used through that evangelical community to effectively deflect the reality of the church and the power of the church. We focused on one nation rather than the whole of creation. Son, keep your heart pure and ensure that you live loving, choose to forgive and release those who criticize and attack you personally. The one new man doctrine that separates my children into spiritual and heavenly from physical and earthly is demonically inspired. Zionism's agenda has hijacked my people's focus onto Israel and away from the creation and blinded the evangelical stream from the truth, both of their responsibility and their destiny as sons. The Zionist agenda has separated and divided and twisted the truth of one new man in Christ from a present and completed reality to a future divisive doctrine. Son, the accusations of anti-Semitism must be addressed. You see, if anyone says anything about Israel, then they're called anti-Semitic. When most of the things are political, there's nothing to do with the religious. Israel is a political nation. And the political issues of the persecution of Palestinians and other things cannot be excused by saying that they're God's people and they can do what they like. And God endorses it. That is not being anti-Semitic. Anti-Semitic is basically being racially separating people. And of course, I embrace all races and all religions, whether they be Jewish or Muslim and everything else, because they all need to come into a relationship with Jesus, the only way to the Father. So I want all nations to be saved. I want all nations to be restored back to the one family that God intended us to be, the family of God. You know, that is not racial. That's the opposite. That's inclusive. I want to include all into the one family of God. And so God said, the Son, the accusations of anti-Semitism must be addressed, and the issues of replacement theology must be challenged with the truth that there has only ever been one people of God through the righteousness produced by the faith of God. There's never been two people, only one people, those of faith. Paul very clearly said in Romans 9, not all Israel were Israel, only those of faith. There was never only one race who were my people, but always those of faith like Abraham who were commissioned with the task to bring blessing to all the families of the earth. This is the true gospel, the restoration and the discipleship of the nations that have separated my children by man-made divisions, geography, race, color, wealth, education, backed to what I always intended, beautiful diversity, but one family. Peter was inspired to clarify that now, those who are in Christ are the true one race, one nation, one name, one people. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That is the one new man in Christ. There is only one race, one royal priesthood, one holy nation, and one people who are the people of God. And that is the ecclesia of God. That is, as Paul decried it, the Israel of God, because he was talking to those in that time period who understood that and wouldn't misunderstand it, that we're all now grafted all back into one true root. That is the people of God who've already always existed right throughout history. And those are the ones of faith. Whether you take it from Adam all the way through the line to Noah and all the way through the lower line to Abraham and Moses, all the way through to David, right to Jesus. We are that one new people in Christ. Let's not separate what he has called to come together. Let's not divide on the basis of anything, whether it be race or color or ethnicity. Let's be inclusive of all, but they all must come through a relationship with Christ, the door that brings the sheep from many folds together into one fold. As all are included and alive in Jesus, my son, then all are already one family and are all destined to be restored. One world government, my kingdom, composed of all my children, that is the goal of restoration, has been made into an agenda to be feared and opposed at the enemy's lie. Of course there's going to be one world government, but it's not going to be the DIY government of the Illuminati and everything else. It is going to be the kingdom of God filling the earth and the glory of God covering the earth. That is what God always intended. One kingdom government under his kingship and his fatherhood. One family, one kingdom, one nation, one people, one landmass, one tree, one river, one universe, one dimension with no separation or division is the true goal. of the restoration of all things. Harmony, unity, unison, oneness, peace will truly be the answer to creation's groaning, because it is in bondage to the corruption that is division, strife, and enmity. Now, all of this, and I know it's a challenge, and I would encourage you to take it back to God. Don't come out of your rest, place of rest, because this is difficult to see because of the theological streams that you may have been brought up with. I was brought up in the heaviest of theological streams in the Brethren movement, who were the institutors of all of this wrong theology and doctrine. So I was indoctrinated. But being baptized in the Spirit, when I first discovered that I was loved by God, really loved by God, and liquid love was poured into me, enabled God to deconstruct that belief, even back in the 80s. And that deconstruction process has been going on ever since. So I encourage you to stay in that place of rest, live loved, love living, and live loving. Be at rest. Do not strive. Come to Him and find that rest. Take His yoke upon you and learn from Him, because He's gentle and humble in heart. Live loved, love living, live loving, be at rest.